Well, here's a passage which talks about new creation. There are many in the Bible. Here's one of them. From the second letter that we've got in the Bible that Paul, the apostle, wrote to the church in Corinth. And Corinth, of all the cities in the New Testament, is probably most like Aberdeen. And in all the centuries between when this was written and now, probably no two centuries are more alike than then and now, given the way that our city is, given the way that our society has changed so much. We've become very like Corinth in the first century. Except we've got oil and they didn't have oil. Apart from that, it's about the same. The ministry of reconciliation. Since then, this is Paul writing to the Christians in Corinth, the church there. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen, rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, what's that all about? Well, we'll come to sort of focus on verse 17 in a moment. But just sort of really step back so that we can get this right, what Paul is talking about here, what the Bible has to say to us. The Bible is a very big book. I mean, it's got like, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages, and most of them don't have any pictures in either, and the print is very small. And you could start, if you start at the beginning of the Bible, you think you're never going to get to the end. I mean, it's just so long. And it's got so many different bits in it, 66 different books between the covers of the Bible. So it's almost like a little library. And it seems to talk about so many different people in so many different situations. It spans such different times. There are people in different countries. There are people with really, really weird names. There are people who do strange things and see strange things. It's got poetry in it. It's got prophecy in it. It's got stories, great stories, you know, Daniel in the lion's den, David and Goliath, all that kind of thing. It's got these four books about Jesus. Tell me the stories of Jesus, that one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. It's got all the rest. It's got this really strange book at the end called Revelation, which is, you know, it's just absolutely fascinating but weird. It's got some really strange people in it as well. You look at it, some of them seem almost kind of bonkers, but there's this storyline running. In fact, there are several storylines that run almost from the very first page of the Bible. In fact, one of them starts in the very first words of the Bible, and the storylines run unbroken from the start right the way through to the end. So even though it looks like a jumble of all sorts of different stuff, actually there's one plot running from start to finish. In fact, there are several plots running through. So it's like a whole season of something on the TV. Each episode might seem different and different characters, but there's the storyline running from start to finish of God's book. And one of the ways that you can talk about that storyline, one of the sort of the themes that runs from start to finish, is sometimes described as creation to new creation. So we start with Genesis, in the beginning God created. And we end in Revelation, the very last book in the Bible, at the very end of Revelation, talking about God saying, see, I am making all things new. There's a new heaven and a new earth. So we start with creation in the beginning. We end with a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth. And so there's this plot line that runs from the very beginning, right the way through to the very end of the Bible. And everything's sort of wrapped around this plot line of going from creation to new creation. What's it about? God made everything. At the very pinnacle of all that he made, there's man. Made for a relationship with him. Made for fellowship with him. Made to know him, made to enjoy him, made to glorify him, made to share in what he does. It's just a tiny wee fraction lower than angels kind of thing. And what did man do? Just totally rebelled against God. And turned away from him. So right near the beginning, you've got a relationship that becomes fractured and broken. And the rest of the Bible is about God mending that broken relationship. But that the break in that relationship just ruins creation. So not just people, but everything starts to, no, not quite unravel, but everything gets spoiled. And so all sorts of things start happening with people and around us in our environment, in our relationship with our environment, which weren't part of creation, but are part of what we often call fallen creation. Paradise lost. Paradise broken. So what God is doing is not sort of just fixing what's old and rearranging it a bit and tweaking it so that it looks neat. He's going to do a whole new creation. And he starts that new creation with Jesus. So when John opens his gospel, what does John do to help us understand what Jesus is about? He echoes the beginning of Genesis. So Genesis starts in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John starts his gospel about Jesus, his account of Jesus with, in the beginning, oh, same phrase, was the Word was with God, the Word was God. John is saying, here's a new start, here's a new beginning, here's the start of this new creation. And by the time we get to the end of the Bible, we've got this great declaration from God saying, see, I am making all things new. New heaven, new earth. So, creation to new creation. It's a great work of God that we see going through the Bible. Now, when Paul writes this bit that we just read to the church in Corinth, in verse 17, he says this amazing thing. He said, if anyone is in Christ, which is what it means to be a Christian. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you do some Christian stuff like just going to church or, you know, being nice or helping people across the road who possibly don't actually want to go across the road, but you're going to help them anyway. It's not about those things that we do. Being a Christian is about not things that you do, but what you actually are. And what you actually are is united to Christ. United with Christ. So the Christian, if you are in Christ, what he says, the new creation has come in you. You are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And he goes on to spell out what the new is, so we can work out what the old is as well. The old is life lived under that sin thing, that brokenness, that rebellion against God. The old is, well, what word can we use? The word, the old life is alienated from God. So we don't know him. I mean, we make up tons about him, but we don't know him. We might get to know a bit about him, but we don't know him. We don't walk his way. We don't do his will. We don't worship him. We don't love him with all our hearts and all our minds, all our souls, all our strength. We don't love one another in the way that he wants us to. We do our own stuff, you know. We go our own way. We're alienated from God. That's the old. And if you belong to Jesus, if you're in Christ, then that old way, that alienated way, it's gone. It's gone. And the new has come. And the new is being reconciled to God. Being with him. You know, the word reconciliation comes from the same word that we get for the council. That doesn't mean Aberdeen City Council. It means when people get together and work something out together around the table, so to speak. And what he's saying is that we're being brought back to the table with God. So that we're not just with him, but we're working with him. We're not just sort of, we don't just know a few things about him, but we really know him and we are with him in all that he's doing, so that what he is doing is what we want to do, and our wills become aligned with his will, and we're just with God again. Like round the table, working on stuff together, cooperating, being with him, one mind with him. That's what the new is. So whereas the old creation, rebellion against God, alienated from God, and in a complete and total mess because of it, a complete self-inflicted mess. New creation is being reconciled to God. Restored. Brought back with him again. Now, that's why Paul talks about having a ministry of reconciliation. What he and his companions were going around preaching, and from the very first verse in what we're reading about here in verse 11, trying to persuade others about. What they're ambassadors for is people being reconciled with God. How? Well, we've got a little clue at the end of, if we read verse 17 again, therefore if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Here it comes. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And if you go down a bit, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What does he think? How do you get reconciled with God? Well, actually, it's God who's done everything for that to happen. How do you get reconciled with God? By faith in Jesus Christ as what? Miracle worker, great teacher, really nice guy, you know, one of us. In Jesus, your faith in Jesus Christ as sin bearer. The very thing which alienates us from God, Jesus Christ took upon himself on the cross. You may be familiar with one of the things that Jesus cried out from the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Right there on the cross, as he carried our sin, he experienced the alienation, the separation from the Father. It is normal to us. He experienced it. He carried it. He took it. He took the guilt, the shame. He took the brokenness.
even in his body, he took the alienation himself upon the cross. So that we, he took ours upon him, so that we can be reconciled to God. It's a wonderful thing, is reconciliation. If you've ever experienced it, it's a wonderful thing. But you can't have reconciliation in name only. If ever you're going to be reconciled to somebody, then stuff has to be dealt with. Stuff has to be acknowledged. What's come between you has to be owned and forgiven, so that it can no longer stand between you. You can't pretend reconciliation. It's got to be real, or it just doesn't happen. And for it to be real, what's come between two people has to be dealt with. And it was being dealt with, what's come between us and God, our sin, was being dealt with by Jesus on the cross. We can't deal with ourselves, we're the problem, not the solution. Jesus took our sin in his body on the cross, died our death, was alienated from the Father with our sin, so that we can be reconciled to God, so that God's great new creation can come to us now. That's what Paul is talking about. That's what the Bible means when it says that if you're a Christian, you are a new creation. A new creation has come to you. Your old life has gone. Your new life, your new created life has come. And it won't be finished until you're in heaven. So, you know, there'll be a whole lot of stuff that still needs, you know, sorting, unlearning, relearning, all that kind of thing. It won't be finished till you get there, but it will have come. That's the gospel, that's the good news, that we can be reconciled to God, that Paul and his companions were ambassadors of Christ for, making his appeal through them. And that's why Paul tried to persuade people. That's why Paul implored people near the end there in verse 20 to be reconciled to God, to be the recipient of God's new creating work through Jesus. If you're trapped in the old, does the world seem totally, inevitably, and forever trapped in the world, in that old? Do you think your own life is only ever going to be coping with a mess? Or hiding some of it? Well, you're not trapped. That's not the only life to live. There is a new life, a new creation, a new start. The old can go, the new can come with Jesus, through Jesus, if you say yes to him coming into your life. If you say, thank you, Lord, that what you did on the cross, you did for me. Let's pray.